name one item in your closet you'd rather trade a kidney for than give up.
Levi's denim.
Hands down, who's your all-time favorite designer?
Givenchy.
What trend needs to die and never come back?
Ugly sneaker trend.
If you could lose yourself shopping in any city, which one would you choose?
Paris.
And what's your favorite brick and mortar store?
The Webster.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Tedra.
So today on the show, we're talking to Emily Gellis. She's the digital content creator behind the Snap Stylist, which is on Instagram.
So Emily lives in New York City, which provides the perfect backdrop for her fashion photos. Emily's love of fashion has also given her the platform to carve out a career as a virtual stylist.
So tell me, like, what is a virtual stylist?
It's actually pretty genius. Basically, she's been getting so many requests from friends and other people on Instagram that she started putting together looks from different boutiques and stores and putting them up on her Instagram stories in her feed. So it's kind of a unique spin on the fashion blogger career, which I think is genius because it's kind of real time. I think you'll really enjoy hearing her share her story.
You're listening to the Get to Know podcast. And for years, we've all been following some of the most inspiring bloggers and social media influencers. Simply put, we get inspired. The next best thing to following our favorite influencers is hearing their stories straight from them. So listen in as we get to know Emily.
Okay, Emily, welcome to our show. We're so happy to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so before we start talking fashion and blogging and all that good stuff, tell us a little bit about your background, where you're calling from and where you're from and your family.
I'm from New York. I grew up in the suburbs in Long Island and Great Neck, and I've been living in Manhattan for the last, 12 years already.
Has it gone by quick?
Yes, I'm getting old, which is scary.
I know. Doesn't it seem like when we pass a certain age, I don't even know when, it just life starts going by.
It goes really quickly, which I've heard happens as you get older. So I'm scared. I wanted to slow down just a little.
Yeah, take in every minute. Okay, so did you go to school out in Long Island or did you go to school in Manhattan? Or
I went to school in Manhattan at NYU. I studied communications and economics. And then I started working in fashion as soon as I was done with college.
Okay, so what was your first job out of college?
My first job was a buyer for Intermix. So that was exciting.
Oh, wow, that's fun. How was that?
It's a very tough industry, but I learned a ton and I was really happy to be there. But I quickly decided that the corporate fashion life was not for me.
Right. I think you have to have pretty thick skin to be in that space as well, right?
Yeah, I have thick skin, so that wasn't really the problem. I just didn't see myself enjoying what I was doing every day. And that's just something that my dad always stressed to me as something that was important for you to love what you do because you're going to be doing it for a really long time. And I wasn't feeling that. So I quickly decided that I needed to explore some more creative options.
Yeah. So that's interesting because I feel like I was taught that same thing. Like if you don't love what you do, change it ASAP because, you know, what's the point of, I mean, just what we were just saying, life goes by pretty quickly. But at a young age, you're just graduated from college. That's a big move to make. You have a probably seemingly good job, but it's not making you completely happy. So what was your next step?
My next step, I started freelancing for this clothing company that I knew of, and I started doing creative design with them. And so I would look at what styles were trending and recommend pieces that I think they should make and work on colors and patterns for the styles. And that was really fun. And when I was working there, I met this designer who we just became close. And then we had this idea to start this handbag company. So that was actually my second venture at a pretty young age. I started a handbag company, and it was very exciting and cool. It was a good time in the market, and we manufactured them in Italy, and it was great. We sold to some top retailers across the country and online, and it was really fun.
Wow, that's so impressive. So together with you and this other person, did she have experience in the manufacturing part of it? Because I know that is so hard. You have the creative side, but then to actually get a product made is a whole different story.
Well, because I was so young, I think that helped to my advantage because I just didn't care. I just didn't take, you know, when you're young, you just think you can do anything and you just do it. So So I set my mind to it, and I had lived abroad for a period in time in Italy when I was in college, and I literally went back to Florence, which is where I lived, and I stayed there for 6 weeks, and I had known some people there, but I really was on my own this time, and I just made as many connections as I could, and I asked everyone I knew if they knew of a factory that I could work with, and I came home from that trip having made our first bags, and it was very cool.
That is so inspiring. Wow. Did you speak Italian, or do you speak Italian?
I speak a version of Italian. I studied it when I was abroad, but I was also on an American program then in Florence. So I was speaking English and Italian. But when I went back there for work and I was alone there, I really had to learn again because most of the people I was speaking to were speaking in Italian. So I'm conversational, but I don't practice it enough. So I've lost it, but I could get by.
You can order your cappuccino and your wine or get around town.
I could get the essentials.
Yes. Going back real quick, how was living in Florence in college? Was that an amazing experience?
Oh yeah, that was unbelievable. That was the best thing I ever did. I recommend to anyone that's in college, if they have that opportunity, to absolutely explore it, because I honestly almost didn't do it. And then I had another friend who was going, and I filled out the application super last minute, and it definitely changed my whole life and perspective because it was really my first time in Europe. And we got to travel all over Europe every weekend, and it just opened your eyes to so many different things and to the world. And it definitely changed my trajectory in life. And I'm super grateful for that experience. So that was amazing.
I'm so happy you said that. I too went abroad after college, or I went right after college to London, and I came back with the same experience that it should be. And we've talked about it with a few other guests who've also done it. It should be part of your curriculum, really, to go and experience. Pick wherever you want to go and go live there for 6 months and see a different side of the world. I mean, it's as big of an education, I think, as what you're learning in the classroom in so many ways.
Totally. I think it's so important. And I would tell anybody and everybody to do it or make it happen. Find a way.
Right. I agree. Okay. So you come back, you have designed a handbag, and then what happens? How did you get that into stores? What was that like?
Because of my career, my earlier career at Intermix, I kind of already knew a lot of people in the industry and I had some connections, but we also really were on the forefront of using social media. Didn't exist in the way it does today. There was no Instagram at that time. There was Facebook though. And people were just starting to launch their own online stores. And honestly, I just started posting pictures on Facebook and people started to see, and word of mouth got out there. And I was just over posting, which is so funny because I got criticized a lot for that. People thought I was insane. Yet now that's exactly what everybody shares, everything on social media.
Right. So that is so funny.
I was ahead of my time.
Right. You're doing it before it was like the thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, we ended up getting our first account organically. I think our first and biggest account, which was Saks Fifth Avenue, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. That's because I posted it online and a girl that I went to camp with, dad, was like, I think the CEO of Saks. And she was like, hey, I sent these pictures to my friend. Like, I think that they should be in Saks. Like, look out for someone to email you. And I got an email from the buyer shortly after that. So it was pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So that was like a pinch me moment, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay. So how did you then transition from that to, did you go right into what you're doing now from that, or did you have things in between?
Yeah. So we had that company for about 5 or 6 years and we got an opportunity to sell it. It's now 2 years ago that we sold it. And we sold it to a bigger company that was able to really help with the manufacturing needs, because that's like a big challenge when you're a small brand, but you're growing and, you know, there's minimums that you need to meet. So it was super challenging. So we sold it, I would say, at just the right time, because social media and everything, there's a ton of brands today. There's so much competition. So we sold it. We stayed on board with the company for a year and then we kind of transitioned out. And that's when I started doing this social media blogging, although I don't actually have a blog, but I consider what I do blogging because I'm interactive with all my followers constantly. And yeah, I started really working on it within the last year. I started really focusing on it and it's been really fun.
Okay. So I didn't know that it's so recent, within the last year that you built this.
I've had the page for a while and I definitely have posted on it, but not as strategically as I'm doing now. Now I look at it as a full-time business. So I didn't always look at it like that.
Right. Okay. So real quick, before we move on to that, what was the name of your company, or has it changed, of your handbags?
The name of our handbag company was Emily Cho.
So you transitioned to social media, virtual stylist, brand, creating unique snap stories for brands, et cetera. Can you tell us what all of that entails?
So yeah, I just started. My friends have always asked me for fashion advice and harassed me to help them style outfits or give them my clothes or go shopping with them. So I actually started doing this on Snapchat, but once Instagram developed its story application, story feature, then I started primarily and only doing it on Instagram. So I just would go into stores and I would just put looks together and style them in the fitting room and show people, like, you could wear this with this and you can tie this with this, and show them the pricing, and even go into a store like Zara, where I know it's overwhelming sometimes for a lot of people. But for me, just because it's in my blood, I guess, it's just easy for me to go in and say, okay, these pieces are cute. And sometimes they're not cute, which I also tell people. I'll try them on and say, you know, this is horrendous, which I think people appreciate my honesty, because I'm telling them the truth.
Right. And so do you have people that they're interacting with you in that way? They're seeing your stories and are you kind of going back and forth with questions on, okay, well, what about this? And how do I get that? And I mean, you're building this conversation.
Yeah. People are always sending me messages based on things that I post. Where can I get this? Where did you get that? Or people also will just send me random pictures. Like, I have people that are, one girl who I know, she's going to a wedding and she sent me 3 dresses. She was like, which one do you like? I told her what I thought. So I feel like I've become a style confidant for my followers, and it's very fun.
Well, and I almost, because you don't have a blog, which I know a lot of people in your space do, but you're doing it almost where it's like real-time blogging.
Yeah.
Where you are, I mean, you don't have to sit down, write a blog post, get it up on your website, and then slowly, you know, people start coming in. You're doing it in real time where it creates more of an interaction, I think.
Yeah, I like that. I enjoy the interactive part of it. That's the part that I get a real kick out of. So that's how I like it to be. So I've dabbled back and forth with the idea of building the blog. But if anyone asks me a question, I'm always answering it. So I just enjoy doing it in the moment, which I'm always on my phone, which is a problem, but that just is what it is.
Okay. So give us a typical day for you, now that I kind of get a better understanding. Give us, like, are you out putting together outfits daily?
During the week, at different courses during the week, I'm putting together, I shoot 5 looks on the weekends for the next week. So every week I'm putting together different looks and figuring out what I'm going to shoot. Sometimes I'm borrowing clothes from designers. Sometimes I'm shopping and going to feature those looks. I'm always out and about looking at what's new, what I think is cool, what I want to feature, what I want to wear, what I think my followers would like. So yeah, and then I spend my time posting on my Instagram. And also I spend a lot of time interacting with different people on Instagram, because I think that's really important for the platform now because of how the algorithm exists. If you're not really interactive, I feel like they can kind of bury you. So I spend hours a day commenting on other people's photos, and it's really fun. I feel like I get to know people that are like all over the world, and I learn from them. I figure out places I want to travel to and restaurants I want to go to, or I find new brands. It's so interesting.
Okay. I love this. I'm listening to you because I feel like, because Instagram's algorithm has changed, and so people now know that it's part of their job, just like posting, to engage with other followers and to comment and like and this and that. And for so many, it is more of the job aspect that they're not, like, hearing you talk about it. For you, it's interacting, it's getting to know people, it's truly getting, you know, places to go, whatever. And I love that. I mean, it's authentic, and I think you have a passion for it, obviously.
Yeah, it's fun. I really like it.
Okay. So I also noticed on your Instagram, you travel quite a bit. Is that something that's just started?
Yeah, it was definitely a goal when I decided to focus on this as a business to travel more and see different parts of the world. And I love traveling and it's so enjoyable. And I just love meeting new people and learning about different cultures and experiencing new things. So I've just started to do it work-wise, and that's been a really fun experience. And it's a great part of what I'm doing. And it gives me different backgrounds and different places to shoot, because otherwise I'm shooting in New York and I'm shooting outside, but as big as New York is, it starts to feel small sometimes. So it gives me new material.
Right. I just saw you recently travel to Mexico City.
Yes. That was amazing.
That is one of my favorite places. We spent a summer there, I guess 2 years ago, and that city has my heart. I love it so much.
Yeah, it really surprised me. I didn't know what to expect, but it was so beautiful, so rich in culture. The food was amazing. The architecture was stunning. I really, really enjoyed it, and I would recommend it to everyone. And your dollar goes a pretty long way there. So that's
It's crazy.
Bonus.
Right. Well, I think what you said it so perfectly. No one really knows what to expect going to Mexico City. And for so many years, it's been kind of quote unquote unsafe to maybe travel to, which I kind of beg to differ. But I mean, no one knows what to expect. And then they land there. And maybe that's the gem of it all, that you are just so surprised by how beautifully rich culturally the city is and the architecture, like you said, and the food is so amazing.
Yeah, I feel like now because of the Instagram world, I feel like it's starting to heat up. It might become a much more popular destination, which good for them. It should be. It's a great city.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So where are you traveling to next?
Next, I'm going to Charleston in 2 weeks, which I've been dying to go to. I feel like it's a blogger hotspot, but it looks so cute and cool. And I watch Southern Charm on TV and I'm like obsessed with this like Southern lifestyle that's so different from here. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. Oh, nice. What is the thing that drives you most in your job? What kind of makes you get up in the morning and say, I love what I'm doing?
I love fashion. It's just such a part of my life. And I really like talking to people and sharing it with people. It's like a weird thing. You know, I think that that was part of the challenge for me about being in an office setting. Although I really liked my coworkers, it's just the monotony of it, I really didn't enjoy. And every day is different for me. And I really like that. I don't like having a set exact schedule of like, I need to be like one place at one time and sit there for hours. So I kind of enjoy that I can do what I want when I want and like have flexibility and still talk to people and meet people. And I make these amazing connections online and they wouldn't happen if it wasn't for this platform. So I think that's so special.
Right. Because you work for yourself and you don't have the typical, you know, day job or desk job. Do you ever feel like you can turn it off, or are you constantly kind of on your phone, checking your Instagram, commenting? How do you handle that balance?
It's really difficult for me to turn off. It's borderline impossible for right now. I feel like while I'm growing it, I need to be 24/7 involved in it. But I hope that at a certain point, I can get it to a certain level where I've built a business off of it. And then I no longer need to be doing that 24/7. But at the moment, it's a constant struggle because I just feel like there's opportunities that are around the corner and I really don't want to miss them. And, you know, there's a lot of competition in doing what I'm doing. So that's kind of the challenge right now.
What would make you say, okay, I can sit back and not check my Instagram, or, you know, you've kind of made it to where you want to be for the most part? Is there like an end goal in mind, or it's just you take it day by day?
Yeah, maybe when I have 1 million followers on Instagram. So I have 80 something thousand right now. So I have a ways to go.
Well, you never know. It can go by fast for some people.
I know. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay, so let's talk a little fashion questions. Name your must-have item this season, one high and one low.
Must-have item. I think a great bodysuit is a must-have item for the season. They've kind of been on trend for a while now, but they're just really easy to pair with anything. And you can get them relatively cheap. I've gotten some great ones at Zara. I've seen them at H&M. I've seen all different price points. So that's like a low item. High item, I have this Louis Vuitton bag that I might fudge the name of it. I think it's the Pochette Matisse. And it's a messenger bag. It goes with everything. I actually recently realized how that monogram really does match with everything. It's really nice. So I know. That's so justify funny. I have my cost per wear theory, where I justify things that expensive things I bought by being able to say that I wear them X amount of times and then they become only like $1. So it's fine.
So do you really go through that process in your mind? Because I feel like some things that I buy, I do think in those terms, which is so funny because I've never been like that. But I think, you know what, I'll wear this so many times. Or, you know, on the flip side, this is like two times and I'm done and whatever. I mean, I think it's rational, which I'm not typically the most rational or realistic shopper.
Yeah. I think as long as you're going to wear it and you know you're going to wear it, then it's worth it. I think it becomes a problem when you're just, you know, that's why fast fashion is sometimes dangerous, because it's cheap. So you just buy it and you kind of get like the thrill of it. But then it's like, you know, I think as you get older, I like to mix having some cheap pieces with also some investment pieces. And those investment pieces are fine as long as you're actually going to wear them.
Right. I agree. I think the mix, and I think we all go through a certain time in our lives where we go through, okay, we only want to buy the best, most quality things that are classic and they'll be in our wardrobe for a while. But honestly, it's fun to mix it up with things that are low, that, you know, a fun bodysuit that's $40 or whatever that you will wear twice, and that's okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I get a ton of compliments on pieces all the time that are so cheap, and I love that. It's all about how you carry yourself and how you wear it. Price doesn't mean anything.
So true. Okay, so what would your UPS guy say is your favorite online shop?
Net-a-Porter or Shopbop? I'm a dangerous regular.
Oh, that's funny. Do you still shop at Intermix?
I don't shop there as much anymore because they were purchased. The company was bought by Gap, and I've noticed a transition. I thought it used to be really more unique and specialty, and now I find it to be a little bit more kind of like what everyone else has. So I try to be a little bit different. I want to like have my own sense of style. So I don't shop as much there anymore.
I did not realize that Gap bought Intermix. And now that you're saying that, I have noticed the last few times I've been in, it's I kind of walk in, peruse and walk out.
Yeah, they just have like every brand now that I feel like is very trendy, which is fine. But I feel like they're carrying it because it's a trend, not because necessarily they selected those pieces for their customers. And when I was a part of the team and for a long time before they were purchased, I could literally go through the store and I would know who stylistically, like what buyer was probably the one behind that and what their thinking was. And I could understand it. And I like that. And now I just don't feel it has that specialty vibe anymore. It has a little bit more department store, which I'm not a big department store fan for shopping. It's just a lot.
Right. Yeah. You kind of walk in and feel like you're going to be wearing what everyone else is wearing.
Yeah. You want to be a little different. So
yeah. Okay. So you are off duty, which I'm not sure if you ever are after hearing our last few minutes of conversation. Yeah. What are you typically wearing?
Oh, I'm wearing jeans and some t-shirt. And if hopefully when the weather is nice in New York, like a leather jacket or a denim jacket and flats. That's my like off duty uniform.
Okay. What are your favorite pair of jeans?
These Levi's, these 501, I think cropped Levi's. They're great. I love them.
Okay. Are they vintage or new?
I don't think they are. They sell them on Shopup. I've seen them still there. They're the cropped ones though. The 501 cropped. That's my recommendation.
Okay. I'm going to write that down. Okay. What is something you never see going out of style?
Never see going out of style. Great denim. I'm a big denim person. I feel like a good pair of skinny jeans is something that you always will need in your wardrobe. I feel like they're always flattering and they elongate your legs and it's just easy to throw on with anything. So I think that's my all-time staple favorite pieces.
Being that you travel so much and you're also styling yourself and you're taking lots of photographs, what is your take on packing? Are you overpacker?
I used to be a terrible overpacker, but that honestly stresses me out so much, I realized. So I've become a very good, I pack in outfits and I recommend that to everybody. I just think about how many days I'm going to be somewhere, what different type of looks I might need. Then maybe I throw in one or two pieces that I'm not sure if I need and like maybe I'll wear. But I do not recommend just throwing everything in your suitcase because that's a disaster. That's so stressful.
I used to write everything down, which is so anal now that I look back, because I'm like, how did I even have the time? But I would write, like go through the days and then write each outfit down. I mean, it was like a very organized way of packing. I'm not that bad now, but I do. I have to go through and really kind of go by outfit. And then I'll throw, like you just said, I allow myself two extra things.
Yeah.
In my suitcase, that I just, they never get worn, but at least I have the,
you have the option,
the security that I have extra clothes if I need them.
Totally. I get it.
Okay. So what is your biggest oops item? Something that you've purchased. It seemed like a good idea. And now you're like, what the heck was I thinking?
I didn't purchase those ugly sneakers because I'm so happy I didn't. That was something that I would regret for sure if I did. I don't know. I'm pretty good about, I stopped buying uber trendy pieces because I always end up like selling them. I don't have to think about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. That's actually a good lesson. I don't know. I'm like queen of closet cleanouts, and I'm now at the point where I have stopped trying to buy things that I know are trendy and I'll like them once and never wear them again.
Yeah. If I'm going trendy, then I go fast fashion, you know, Zara, I'll buy it for $40, get it out of my system, but definitely not more than that because then I end up never wearing it and I'm selling it at the end of the season always. So it's so stupid.
Right. Where do you like to sell your clothes?
I sell most of my stuff to The RealReal. They make it really easy.
It's so easy.
They pick it up for me. I don't have to do anything. So they make it hard to say no.
They totally do. I know I've had some come to my house and I'm like running out of my closet. Wait, one more thing. I mean, it is. It's a good way. They have a great business model for sure. Okay, my last question before I pass it to Tedra. What is your nighttime? You're tucked in for the night. What are you wearing?
Oh, I'm not good with pajamas. I wear like a pair of sweatpants and a tank top.
Okay, nice. Nice and comfy. All right, Tedra, do you have any follow-up questions for Emily?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments and questions. One thing is I'm a Southern Charm fan too. So as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, my ears perked up. I'm like, yes.
I love that show.
Me too. Something about just seeing like the different, like, I guess the way that Southerners are. I don't know. I'm down. I like it a lot. Of course, the drama. Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to know, I noticed that your boyfriend is in your Instagram here and there. Tell me a little bit about how you met and a little bit about him.
We met through mutual friends, kind of. We were both at a mutual friend's birthday party and we met there. And yeah, we've been together for 5 years and he is involved whether he likes it or not. He pretends like he doesn't like it, but he obviously does like being on my Instagram. Sometimes he's a little whiny about it, but then he'll be like, I'm doing this for your Instagram. I'm like, no, you're not. But he also does take my pictures begrudgingly sometimes, but he's become my photographer. I don't know that that's not a permanent thing. It's been like that and it works for now, but I can't say that it will be like that forever. We'll have to see.
No, I love that. I mean, there's a whole like hashtag, like,
oh yeah, he's an Instagram boyfriend.
Yeah, boyfriends sure. Of Instagram. Yeah, husbands of Instagram. That's great.
He is. But then sometimes he's like, don't film me. But I'm like, you kind of like it. And he has a lot of fans and people get a real kick out of him. And I think they really enjoy seeing that and they think it's funny. So I am happy to continue doing it.
Have you made any like surprising relationships with someone that's also doing something similar in New York City, since there's obviously like quite a few people doing it there?
As far as bloggers, I actually am more connected to randomly where I'm in some groups of like chats on Instagram with girls that are located all over. I've made some friend, like blogger friends that are in New York, but we have a group of like some girls live in Paris, some live in London, some live in Louisiana, Atlanta, and we all kind of chat about some of the struggles that we have on Instagram and we give each other ideas and stuff like that. And we try to support each other on Instagram. So that's cool. It's fun.
Tell me, what's one or two great tips you could share with the listeners?
As far as blogging or Instagram goes, I would say just to be yourself and be authentic and have fun. If you're doing those things, I think you'll be good.
So if I called you at 9 a.m. on any given day, what are you most likely doing?
Probably walking my dog.
What's something that people would be surprised to know about you?
Well, I'm very goofy and I'm a kind of weird, but I feel like they get a hint of that through my Instagram. But my sister always says, I wish people knew how weird you are. I'm like, I think they do.
Especially if you story, right? You really get your personality out there.
Yeah.
So how do you like to decompress at the end of the day?
I like to just watch Bravo, or lately I've been rewatching The Sopranos, and that has been like really fun to watch again.
Excluding social media, what's your favorite app?
Well, what app do I use the most is Juno, which is like the car sharing app where I get cars all over the city, like an Uber, but it's called Juno.
Name a book that you're loving.
I am so bad, but I don't read books. I read the newspaper, but I don't read books. I'm horrible.
I have a newspaper. That's impressive these days. Yeah. You know, not many people are keeping up with the paper.
Yeah.
Describe your perfect day.
My perfect day would be walking my dog in the morning and then getting a little sun in, taking him to the park, styling some cute outfits, going to eat outside somewhere in New York, and then maybe having a glass of wine, and then just coming back home and watching Bravo. So sad.
What's your favorite beverage of choice in the morning and also at night?
I try to drink a lot of water because I feel like it really helps me. But my favorite beverage, I like an iced coffee with skim milk in the morning. And at night, I just drink water with lemon.
What city has you shedding a tear when you have to leave?
Florence, Italy.
Do you have a Netflix addiction?
Well, it's not so recent, but I watched The Crown and I was absolutely enamored. And I can't wait until the new season.
Any favorite beauty product that you have in your bag?
I like this Buxom lip plumper. It's like getting your lips injected without actually getting them injected.
Who would you love to have coffee with?
Anna Wintour.
Do you live by a motto?
Be happy. Life's short.
Who's your celebrity crush?
David Beckham.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's so hot.
How do you come up with the name of your blog?
So I started it to be a double play on words, the Snap Stylist. I was doing a lot of my stuff on Snapchat. So I was like the Snap Stylist, but also a photo is like a snap. So it kind of comes from that.
What song do you currently have on repeat?
I've been listening to No Tears Left to Cry, Ariana Grande.
What meal would you choose as your last meal?
Pizza.
Who's your girl crush?
Girl crush. I think Margot Robbie is really cool.
What's the best gift you've ever received?
I got a very nice watch for my 31st birthday. That was a very nice gift.
And what's the best gift you've ever given?
You got my sister a love bracelet for her graduation when she was becoming an assistant principal. That was the nicest gift.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Last thing I Googled? How to download Google Chrome the newest version of Google Chrome to make sure that I could do this interview properly.
Love it. Okay, one last question. What's the greatest life advice you've ever received?
I think I mentioned it earlier, but definitely just to make sure that what you're doing in your career makes you happy and what you're doing in your personal life makes you happy. And I think there is a lot of pressure to succumb to being certain ideals that other people set for you. And ultimately, you have to be the one that's happy. So just make sure that when you wake up in the morning, you know, there are going to be days that are hard, of course, and everyone's going to have shitty days. But overall, just make sure that you're doing things that make you smile. And I think you'll be good.
Okay, so before we let you go, tell us where we find you on social media and also online if you've got it. I guess you do have a website, right?
I do, but I really don't use it. The best way to find me is on Instagram, and my handle is Emily Gellis, G-E-L-L-I-S.
Okay. Well, Emily, it's been a joy having you on today, and I think I speak for Julie saying that we loved getting to know you.
It was great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Emily. Good luck with that million followers.
Yeah.
You're going to get there.
We'll chat again once I'm there and I'll see what's changed.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. So Tedra, that was awesome getting to talk to Emily. I think I love hearing her virtual stylist career. I think that's like super genius.
Yeah, it's like actually totally unique, at least from anything I've ever heard of.
No, me too. I love it. Anyway, Tedra, tell us what makes you wake up in the morning and say, I love my job.
Okay. Well, now that we're doing this.
Let's assume that you do wake up in the morning and say you love your job.
No, I actually do. I think like just this new thing that with the podcast that we have going and our website and social media, I think it's fun. I think one of the most exciting aspects is just working with like two of my best friends in life. That's more rewarding than I would have thought. So I actually love it.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you feel the same way.
I do. I was actually going to answer it the same way. So ask me that tomorrow.
Okay, well. Okay, well, Julie, what I am going to ask you today is what's your favorite brick and mortar store?
Well, okay, so we live in Austin, as you know, and my favorite probably boutique that I love to go and I always walk out, good or bad, I guess, with a bag of something is By George. They always have like really current fashion and they have amazing shoes and jewelry and it's been in Austin forever, like I think 30 years and it's awesome. But if I was going to say like a store where we don't have one in Austin, but every time I go to a city that has one, it's my first stop is Barney's. And I just think they have like a really great selection of everything that I love. And I love the home stuff and I love the cosmetics and the perfume. And anyway, I could get lost in there for hours. And then also head upstairs to the Fred's and have some fries and maybe a glass of rosé. That's like my perfect day. I just answered like 12 questions.
I know. I was going to say like, I actually want to do that right now. The way that you described it, I'm like, yeah, let's go to Fred's, hit up Barney's.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Well, we want to thank you for listening today. And if you like the show, we would love for you to head over to iTunes and give us a positive review. While you are there, please check out our other We Get to Know Eat Well and We Get to Know Travel. You can find us at wegettoknow.com where you can sign up for our newsletter and on social media at We Get to Know. Head over to Instagram. We'd love to hear from you and get your opinions on guests and show ideas. Our music is provided by the talented Blake Atwell of Studio 1916. Until next time, take care as we continue to get to know all of our favorite influencers and bloggers.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Tedra.
So on the show today, we're talking to Emily Gillis. She's a little bit different of... Hey, Julie.
Hey, Tedra.
So today on the show, we're talking to Emily Gillis. She's the digital content creator behind the Snap Stylist on Instagram. Could you hear my dog there?
Yes.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Tedra.
Did I say, hey, Julie?